Hey, listen, we're glad to have you here today. I'm Pastor John. We're just overjoyed that you're joining us for our continued series, Summer in the Psalms. We've been spending all summer long looking at different Psalms in the Bible, and there's like 12 different categories of Psalms, and we're spending each week in one of those categories. And today we're going to talk to you about confession. Okay, now I was reading the other day, and let me just share it with you. Let me just give it to you and instead of trying to explain it. I was reading, and it had this joke, and it said this man was on his deathbed. Okay, really, really, really sick, and his wife was there with him, and he said to his wife, he said, "Honey, I have something to confess." You know, something was on his mind, and he said to his wife, he said, "You know, honey, I confess that I've not been faithful to you for many years." And she said, "Well, sweetheart, I have something to confess too. That's why I poisoned you." Okay, now, confession is important, right? So let me just start off. Lord, please forgive me for that joke. That was terrible. And teach me a better way. Listen, we all need to confess is the point, right? I mean, confession is something that everybody needs. Now, look at these passages of Scripture, because confession, I mean, the Psalms has a lot to say about confession. Psalm 6, let me read you verse 1. It says, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath." Psalm number 32 says, "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him." Psalm 38 says, "I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning." Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to my cry of mercy." And Psalm 143 says, "O Lord, hear my cry in prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy." You see, the Bible, Psalms, and David had a lot to say about confession. And you know what? I think it's really neat when you talk about confession and the church. Because the church is different than any other organization, any other group, any other organization that acts like a family. Think about it. When you're a part of any organization, you come together, you get people in a group, and what do? You encourage them. You know, you challenge them. You talk to them about how great they can be. But the church is the only organization that I know that when we come together, we can do all of those things, and then we can also say, you know what, we're all sinners. We're all in need of God's grace. All of us have something that we need to confess to God. That's one of the great things about the church. Now let me change gears and get into the message this morning. Does this ring a bell? Do you recognize this at all? That's an aerial photograph of an area out in Nevada on the edge of Edwards Air Force Base. It's called Area 51. Has anybody ever been there? Has anybody ever lived there? I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. You know Area 51, right? This secret place, this place where everybody wonders what's going on. I mean, I read something the other day when I was in the checkout line at Martin's, and it might be true. It said that they have an alien there that they've been doing experiments on for the last 40 years. It might be. Right? This UFOs, spaceships, all kinds of stuff. Matter of fact, if you try to get close to Area 51, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see do not enter. You're going to see nobody past this point. Military installation. No photography. Somebody told me last service who used to work for the spy agency in the federal government. They said that those warning signs actually that they would shoot you if you came in that area. Well, here's the thing, folks. I want to talk to you about Area 51 today. Not that one. I'm talking about Area 51 in the book of Psalms. Psalm 51. It's a place where there's a lot of things that make you think, make you wonder, maybe even frighten you a little bit because what's being said there. So let's take a look at Psalm 51 today, and it is a psalm of confession. Now, let me begin by telling you my definition of confession, okay? This is my definition of confession, and I think it's pretty dead on. Confession is complaining about yourself to God with a sincere heart. That's confession. Confession is complaining about yourself to God with a sincere heart. Think about it. We do a lot of complaining, don't we? Now, actually, next week, we're going to do the Psalms of Complaint. You know, there are a bunch of them. There's a bunch of Psalms of Complaint. But here, I just want to tell you that in my opinion, confession is complaining about yourself to God with a sincere heart. You know, instead of going to God and talking about your situation and everything going on out there and how it affects you, or going to God and talking about everybody else and complaining about everybody else and what they're doing and what they're saying and how they're treating you and how it's not fair and all these kind of things, we've all done it, right? Confession here, and I think David is going to teach us this, is that confession is just saying, you know what, God, I'm the one that messed up. I'm the one that's got the problem. I'm the one that is an obstacle to finding joy in my life. I'm the one that's made choices that's hurt my relationships and my family. I'm the one. Confession is nothing more than complaining to God about yourself, but doing it with a sincere heart. That's what we find here with David. Because in Psalm 51, what David is doing is that he is confessing to God about himself, and he's doing it with a sincere heart. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of times, exactly the way it happened with David is the way it happens with us. A lot of times, we don't think about confession until our sin is found out. If you remember, the background of Psalm 51 is that David is confronted by the prophet Nathan about his sin with Bathsheba and about the aftermath of all of that. And if you remember, when Nathan was confronting David and telling him a story about a poor man that had one little lamb, David was incensed about this person's behavior. And Nathan said, David, you're the guy. You see, a lot of times when it comes to confessing like this, what it takes is for somebody to find out our sin or to discover our situation and to bring it to life. And then it forces us to deal with it. But I think Psalm 51 also gets to the heart of David, of King David. And he shares some things here that are pretty amazing about taking all this stuff before God. Now, there's 19 verses in Psalm 51, and I don't have it up here on the screen for you this morning. But let me read to you just this passage. You can look it up in your Bible there, or you can look it up on a Bible app. You can get it out of our app. If you go to the First Church app, there's a Bible tab on there. But listen to what Psalm 51 says. I love this passage. David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves, and then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. Confession. Confession is something that we all need, but a lot of times we don't do it until it's forced upon us. And I think what David does here is that he just shares and opens up his heart before God and bears his soul before the people as they read and as they hear this. And he teaches them and teaches all of us some really important lessons about our need for confession and really what it's all about. Matter of fact, if you notice this, the first thing that David teaches us is that he teaches us that confession is not just about the past, but it's also about the future. Now let me help you notice something here that maybe slipped your gaze in this passage. Verses 1 through 6 is all about the past. Verses 7 through 19, it's all about the future. Have you ever wondered or thought that most of the time when we're talking about confession, what we're doing is that we're talking about the past. God, this is what I've done. This is what I succumbed to. This is the sin that overcame me. This is the sin that I've struggled with. And David teaches us that while confession has a lot to do with our past, it has more to do with our future. Look at what he says. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God. Wash me," verse 2, "cleanse me from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. I recognize my rebellion," verse 3. "It haunts me day and night. Against you I have sinned. You have proved right in what you say. I was born a sinner. Yes, from my mother, from the moment I was conceived in my mother's womb. But you, Lord, you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there." Notice the change beginning in verse 7. He goes from strictly talking about his past sins to what true confession, true repentance can give him in the future. He says, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy. Let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins, O God. Remove the stain of my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit." All the way through, it's everything about the future. So, folks, I just encourage you to make sure that you understand that and that you know that. That confession is not just about your past sins. It's about your future faith in God. Matter of fact, I'm reminded of this every time I go to the movie. And you say, why? Well, let me just tell you. I love going to the movies. Arlene and I, we enjoy going to the movie. I love it. We enjoy it when there's something good out. And this reminds me of that because sometime back, when we go to the movie, I love to get popcorn. Man, I love to get that big bucket of popcorn, and I love it that they let me put my own butter on it now. Isn't that awesome? That's just like Christmas in July. You know, being able to do that little button thing yourself, and man, I just saturated and I just love it. And then we go into the movie, and Arlene eat the first 3 or 4 inches of the popcorn, and then she has the rest. You know, I eat it until that real good buttery flavor's gone, and then she takes over from there. But one time I went to the movie and I had on a brand new shirt, and I dropped one of these kernels, saturated in butter on this brand new shirt. You know, it's hard to get butter that kind of butter out of fabric. Who knows what it's doing to the insides of our body? You know, but I have that shirt, and although Arlene has tried, she's done everything, you know, she's used all these things, you know, but there's still, you can still see it if you look really close. And it's brand new. And every time I think about wearing that shirt, oh no, that's, I just have to use that to paint, to work outside, or whatever. Brand new shirt. Went to the movie once, and then it was relegated to the back of the closet to be used just for activities around the home. Yeah, that shirt reminds me every time of that. But you know what it reminds me? Don't wear my good shirt to see the movie. Okay? Matter of fact, get that one that already has the butter stain on it and use that one. See, folks, our past sins should always remind us to be faithful in the future and to make right choices and better choices before God. You know something else here that I think really is kind of cool is how in verse number one, he uses the word because twice. Did you see that? He says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great mercy. I find those kinds of repetitive words in the Scripture kind of interesting. You know, because of your mercy, because of your love, because of the wonderful things. No, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, just you say it enough, and that's exactly where your mind goes. I want this repetitive word because to remind you. He says, have mercy on me, God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. You see, folks, our sin and our confession before God, it should always remind us that our sin is what got us here. Because of our sin. I mean, do you need to be reminded of in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth and he created Adam and Eve and he gave them dominion over all of creation and he told them to go and to be fruitful and multiply and they sinned. And that sin caused separation between them and God. And it does the same to us. Our sin separates us from God. So we got to remind ourselves that it's because of his unfailing love, because of his great compassion, because of his mercy on us, that we can even get to verse 2 and talk about being washed and cleansed and white as snow. You see, folks, when we realize that, then we kind of can go to this next point that David, I think, gives us. And that's our understanding about the different choices that we have between confession and rebellion. Between confession and rebellion. You see, he uses those words there. He says, forgive me, and I will teach your ways to rebels. He says in verse number 3, I recognize my rebellion. You see, David understood that before his time of confession, he lived a life of rebellion. And here's the thing, folks. There's some rebels in here this morning. Remember David? David, a man after God's own heart. David, you know, the righteous king of Israel. David, who ruled his people well. Well, David had a terrible secret. And David had a terrible sin. And even though everything looked good on the inside or on the outside, David was struggling. Matter of fact, if you read this, he says in there in one place, he says that my sin just causes turmoil in my soul day and night. He said he just couldn't get rid of it until it came out, until he confessed. So folks, see, you and I have this same kind of situation going on in life. God knows our secrets and he knows our need to confess. What would you think about a guy who has a nice home and the home is decorated nicely? And what would you think about a guy that had a couple of dogs and he knocks off an ornament that's decorated in the house, and it breaks into several pieces. What do you think about a guy that would carefully put those pieces back together and set them up on the shelf to where you wouldn't notice that it was broken? What do you think about a guy who would let it sit there for a long period of time until one day when the whole family was in the room that the dog went by and knocked this little ornament off and it fell into several pieces? What do you think about a guy who would stand up and say, "Oh my gosh, look what the dog did"? Now, I'm not saying I ever did anything like that, but I'm just saying. You see, all of us carry these things that we've done, these sins that we've done against God, and maybe nobody else knows about them, and who knows, they might come out and they might become known because of an accident or some other reason, but wouldn't it be better just to live the kind of life that when we do something that breaks this relationship between us and God, that we just lay it bare before Him and tell Him what's going on and what happened and how sorry we feel for it. See, David had this choice of confession or continued rebellion, and he made the right choice. I hope we do too. You know, one of the most interesting parts of this passage, and I'm going to show it to you here. I love this. I put it up not as a chapter and verse, but as a quote from King David. It actually comes from verse number 4 in Psalm 51. Look at what David says. David says, "Against you and you alone have I sinned." You know, when I read that, that's a fascinating part of the scripture. I mean, because wasn't David's sin against Bathsheba? Bathsheba was the young lady. She did nothing wrong in the beginning. The king enticed her. The king called to bring her to himself. You know, she couldn't say no to the king. Matter of fact, she didn't do anything wrong. She was just bathing on the rooftop where those things happened in that day. And it was David that looked and saw her and planned and brought her to himself and committed this sin. But David says, "Against you and against you alone have I sinned." But what about Uriah, this woman's husband, who, if you read the story closely, obviously this husband loved her very, very much. Nathan, in describing David's sin to him, he talked about how this man loved and cared for his wife, whom David had violated. Not to even mention that David thought that he would cover the tracks of his sin like many times we do. So he brought Uriah home from the battlefield and he said, "Go home and be with your wife." And his thought was that if he went home and slept with his wife and she was pregnant, that everyone would think that it was obviously Uriah's baby and no more questions would be asked. But Uriah was such an honorable man. If you read the story, it says that he slept on the steps of his home because he said he did not want to be any more comfortable than his soldiers that were still on the battlefield. So David, who says he sinned against God and God alone, he had a thought, okay, I'll send him back into battle and I'll put him on the front lines so that he is killed. And that's exactly what happened. Why would David say, "Against you and you alone have I sinned"? Well, let me tell you what I don't think this verse means, and then I'll tell you what I think it does mean. This verse does not mean that David thought that his actions had no consequences in the lives of other people. Matter of fact, he says there, if you notice, he talks about how if God will forgive him of his sins, he will help rebels to turn their life over to God. And then he also says, down in verse 14, he says to God, he says, "God, forgive me for shedding blood." David recognized his sin and the effects of those sins on other people. I don't think he's minimizing the effect of his sin and his need for confession in order to help the lives of other people. But I think what this verse does mean is that David understood first and foremost, every sin is a sin against God. Because it breaks that bond, it breaks that relationship. And think about this. I think this is so interesting and so important because we almost never think this way. I mean, when we're praying, when we're confessing to God, most of the time we're talking about, God, I'm so sorry I hurt my wife. I'm so sorry I was a lousy father. God, I'm so sorry for what I said about this person. But almost the entirety of this psalm, David is saying, God, I confess my sin because I know what my sin does to my relationship with you. And you see, folks, I think that for us must be a huge, huge priority in our life. I think why is because of verse 17. Psalm 51, 17 says that you will not reject a broken and repentant heart, oh God. I tell you this morning that the Bible says in the New Testament, it says that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and all of our unrighteousness. Here, God says that he will not reject a broken and a repentant heart. You see, folks, here is one of the keys to understanding this verse because confession without repentance are hollow words. But confession coupled with repentance. You see, confession is all about the past. Repentance is all about the future. Because repentance is saying, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to live different. This is going to change my life. And the Bible says here that God will not reject that kind of spirit. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know how old I was. My brother was probably 17, which would have made me, 10. My age wasn't important. What happened was I almost burned the house down. Okay? Long story, too long to tell here, but I almost burned the house down with a toaster. And I remember, we put it out, and I mean, it really was bad, and my brother was asleep in the room, and he could have died from smoke inhalation and all this. But anyway, we opened the windows and my brother was okay. He made it seem worse than it was. But I remember waiting for my mother to come home. She had gone to work that day and I knew that I was in trouble. I knew that I was in the wrong, and all this. And I remember sitting on the front steps of my house and I was just waiting. I was like the prodigal son waiting for the father. And I was just waiting for my mother to come home and I knew that I was going to get it. I don't know if get it meant what meant to you, what it meant to me when I was that age, but I was going to get it. I was going to get it good, and I deserved it. And I remember my mother finally coming home, and she saw the damage. She heard the story, and I was weeping and confessing to her. And you know what she said? She said, honey, I can tell that you have been tormented all day long, and it'll be okay. I'm like, is that all it took to get out of this? And maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, confession? Repentance? Is that all it takes to get out of this? And the answer is yes. As long as it is a sincere confession and repentance to God. You know what? I think we all probably need to deal with this. So I got a short video here I want you to see. And here's what I want you to do while you're watching this video. Read every word that you see on this screen. Read every word and apply every word to you and to where you are and to your need for confession. Watch this. David's confession meant that he was hungry for God. He was hungry for God to help him deal with his past. But his appetite was more for what God wanted to do with him in the future. Augustine said that confession is the beginning of good works. So today my prayer is for all of us to come before God and to confess to Him as we see David doing here. And then knowing that six verses of our confession are about what we've done and how we need God to forgive us. And then verses 7 through 19 of our confession is all about us experiencing that cleansing power of Jesus in our lives today. Did you notice how David ended his psalm? He said, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do desire to have a contrite and broken heart. Lord, we do desire to have a time of confession before you. And God, that whether it's ignited by our sin being found out, or whether it's ignited by our sin just wandering around inside of our souls day and night to the point that we don't know what else to do. God, may our hearts cry forth to you for mercy and forgiveness and cleansing. And then, God, may our confession be the beginning of our good works of faith done in your name. Father, may it be so for all of us here this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen.